The drought is over. Pain for Demons fans is no more as the Perth Football Club make finals for the first time in 23 long years. End of an era. Several ageing players hang up the boots, but one AFL veteran will play his 20th season on his mission to 400 games. Versatile pie, Mason Cox silences critics with his amazing goal on the run. Captain dumped, GWS do the unthinkable and drop Stephen Coniglio. What's next for the $7 million man? And after briefly appearing in our two games in one day vlog, Jackson Ramsey from the Royals continues the trend of ex-Collingwood players on the show. This is the Centre Square Podcast.
And I declare the winner of the 2019 Brownlow Medal, Nathan Fyfe of the Fremantle Football Club.
Shade from the boundary. Needs to be in perfect. He yells. He's got the most impossible goal. From inside the centre square. Boys kick the goal. Boys kick the goal.
As those headlines said, a heap of players have called time on their careers. Bray, how are you?
Yeah, great, Ethan. Great to be here.
Cade Simpson, Bryce Gibbs, Tom Bell Chambers, Ben Stratton, Paul Puopolo, and Matthew Cruiser are all hanging up the boots, while Sean Burgoyne will remarkably play on for a 20th season, the 38-year-old.
Yeah, a couple of surprises in there, must admit. Bryce Gibbs, thought he had a couple more years left in him. Cruiser as well. He was 2008 draft,
2007.
Wasn't he?
Oh, he'd been pick one, and Gibbs was pick one as well.
Yeah, so those guys, pretty soon. And also Paul Puopolo, I thought he would have been about 30.
Yeah.
Sean Burgoyne playing on.
I'm surprised. If anything, I thought Cade Simpson was actually good enough to play on another season. And Sean Burgoyne, he's still actually okay though.
He's still a gun.
And he's got that experience for a young group. I guess it's coming towards the end of the season where, you know, lists are trying to change the list of the clubs. Ex-Pie and East Randall ball magnet Jackson Ramsey is today guest on the Centre Square Podcast, 91.3 Sport FM, your football headquarters. He could be on his way to a maiden Sandover medal. He was certainly going as a favourite, I think, and seems like a good bloke after we caught up with him in that two games in one day vlog. We only decided we were going to go to the second game during the first game, didn't we?
Yeah, we didn't have any intentions, did we? We knew the game was later at Lifeline, but we never really thought about it until about, I don't know, probably
half-time,
maybe the second quarter of the league game.
Yeah.
Sorry. And we were like, oh, well, Subi have going to lose. Why don't we go and have a gander at Lathlane and
see what happens.
Demons can do. Yeah.
Yep. So, well, before we get into the segments, how's the atmosphere right down at Lathlane Park to break the 23-year drought?
Yeah, it was insane. Now we got there, started the third, so game was pretty much well underway. A couple of guys not very happy with each other that were around us in the third quarter.
Bit of arguing going on.
Opposite teams, so they were two passionate supporters. And then the last quarter we sat on, like, sort of in front of the Hungry Jacks down there on the fence, and it was absolutely electric on that side of the ground.
Brant College had that set shot from, like, right where we were. But I think Chris Marston probably celebrated more that night than when he won the premiership with the Eagles.
Yeah, well, he was out of the rooms pretty early after the game. Before the players came out from there, I don't know if they were in a team meeting or not, but as soon as they went in, he was in there for probably 5-10 minutes and then came out before the players went straight out of the room. So I don't know if he was off to go get some more beers or he was out of there, but yeah, it was an absolute mental night. Obviously, all the fans, spectators, they all ran out onto the ground afterwards to get around the players, and especially the close friends of the players. It was a massive night.
So they'll play West Perth at Joondalup elimination final, and that winner of that game will versus the loser of Claremont, South Fremantle and Claremont.
Yep.
It's top four, how it sort of used to work before the top five was in place. Yep. But we'll do things a bit differently from what we usually do in the order, and the Centre Square Player of the Year from round 16 and 17 before In Strife and the Tips heading into the final round before the final series.
Yep. The Centre Square Player of the Year. Now, this is round 16. Round 16, that was normal, wasn't it? Just the weekend gone, wasn't it?
That was 2 weeks ago, basically, because the footy frenzy.
Oh, yeah. We just had round 17, didn't we?
So it feels like a while.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But Sammy Menegola we've got here for 3 votes. 30 disposals, 2 goals, 6 marks, 8 clearances, and led the charge in the 66-point victory over the Bombers for the Catters. They dominated the Bombers.
Some bloke, I think I saw, has put, I don't know the exact figure, but it was $800 and something on Sam Menegola to win the Brownlow this year.
Yeah.
Not sure what's going on there, but he played well that game.
Yeah, and then 2 votes for Adam Chera. 30 disposals as well, and a goal in the wet. Had everyone saying Chekra after the Czech side. Didn't really understand what was going on about that after the game. With everyone saying Chekra, I was like, what on earth is happening? Because I can't say I watched that part of the game. I only watched the beginning. So, yeah, it's pretty mad. Then 1 vote for Sam Walsh, the 2019 Rising Star winner. He was enormous for the Blues, coming back from 7 goals down to beat the Swans. He had 25 disposals, 1-1, a solid 9 tackles. So the pressure was excellent, Nathan.
It was.
We've got some unlucky to miss here. Travis Boak, he's had a lot of votes.
Could win the Brownlow.
Yeah, I'd say Lachie Neal's still favourite for me.
He's only 2 behind in the AFL Brownlow predictor. But, you know, that's not always correct.
It's not the umpires, yep. Ollie Wines is also in there, so 2 Port Adelaide boys. Tom Hawkins, the big forward. Michael Walters, Dane Zorko, and Hugh McCluggage.
Yeah.
And then round 17, this is the one that's just gone. We'll go from 3. Caleb Daniel, 28 touches and a goal. Probably the best field kick in the competition. He is pretty elite on both boots. I'd say he's one of the best kicks.
I think he could be in the Australian team. He's 168 centimetres tall. I think he's the smallest player in the comp by some margin.
Yeah, he has definitely got one of the best kicks, if not the best. And 2 votes, I think. Cow put this man in. He didn't have an amazing game, but it was good for him. It was a standout because this man hasn't had a big game in a while. But that is big boy Mason Cox, the big Texan. He put on an absolute show at the Gabba, proving his athleticism with a goal on the run. That was pretty nice goal.
7 contested grabs as well, which is, you know, good. If that's what you want to do if you're not bringing it to ground as a big man.
Yeah. Pretty much his best game probably since that prelim final in 2018.
Which everyone's just going to keep bringing up.
Yeah. And then 1 vote for Luke Parker, 33 disposals, 2 goals. As the Swans had a sniff early against the second place Lions, but just lacked the support from around his teammates. Unlucky to miss here, Tim Kelly. He played well against the Saints. Definitely unlucky to miss there. Jack Revolt, Nat Fyfe, Jesse Hogan, who bagged a couple, your man, Ethan.
Big fan of Hogs.
Yep. Tom Rockliffe, another Daniels, Brent Daniels, Harry McKay, Marcus Bontempelli, Jordan Goey on his return, and Alex Sexton.
To go, he'd 4 goals.
And now, have you got a leaderboard hidden away for this?
I do. I'm not going to reveal it.
Yeah, because I don't think any of us know about the leaderboard.
But
you've got it hidden away.
All I'm going to say is the person who's leading it, you probably can figure it out. You cannot lose from here because there's only 1 round, and you know we're not going to do it in the finals because it's just how it works.
Quickly,
Jesse Hogan. There's a lot of talk about if he's going to be on the Dockers list next year. I think Mark Darfield from the West Australian said he's neither on the trade or off the trade table. But I'm a big fan of him. I think he needs to stay. They've just got to have a bit of faith in him, which I think Longmuir does. But anyway.
Well, he just needs to, I guess, get given some quality game time he can work.
Yeah, he is a confidence sort of player. So in strife this week, I've got that. I'm going to start off. GWS for dropping Stephen Coniglio. I know he's the first to admit his form isn't up to scratch. But there are other ways around dropping your senior leader, and it was kind of pointless in my opinion because I think he's going to come back. And I think a number of clubs have asked the question if he's gettable in the off season. I know he's been paid $7 million over 7 seasons, which is just crazy. I mean, I'm not entirely sure if he's worth
$7 million for someone who can't get a game at the moment. It's pretty impressive. That's like NBA, NFL sort of money, that is.
Yeah. Elijah Taylor from the Sydney Swans obviously hasn't learnt his lesson. We all know what happened in the COVID. His girlfriend tried to sneak in. But he's been charged with aggravated assault and has been stood down by the Swans. It's been a real tumble this last few months. It's been for him. I mean, from his debut, getting Adam Goodes' number. Now, these sort of instances, they're not good, especially for a young player who's, you know, I wouldn't say is exactly made his mark in the competition.
Yeah.
And then last one, taking away nothing from Isaac Quaynor, but the Rising Star Committee, or a group of people who choose the weekly nomination for the Rising Star. Because Lachlan Scholl, I think that's how you say it, the kid from Adelaide, he had 24 disposals and 2 goals in only his 8th game. There was plenty of stuff on social media saying they've missed a trick there. I saw Taylor Walker, I think he tweeted, what is Lachlan Scholl missing this week or something? So, yeah, those are the 3 strikes I found. But the tips are definitely neck and neck going into round 18. So the ladder for the tips is myself, Bray, and Callan on 97.
Bam.
All squared up. Luca on 88. And Noah, he's actually come back a little bit. He's on 81. I think he got 7 last round.
Well, I've got an idea I just thought of. You know how in, like, the A-League, how they have their minor premiers, they call them the premiers, right? Mm-hmm. I reckon...
We do a minor premiership.
We do a minor premiership for just the season, but then it continues on for the champion at the end of the grand final.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I rate that. Because, obviously, you get rewarded if you finish top, but then it's still like a challenge. There's still something to play for.
Yep.
Because we don't just want it to be dead in the finals.
Yeah, because there might be 3 of us leading or whatever at the end of round 18. And so we'll have 3 premiers and potentially someone might win in the finals because there may be a couple of upsets. You never know.
But
yeah, it's definitely neck and neck.
And I reckon in the grand final, you can, because I think we'll have that last episode for footy will be like a season review or just a one after the grand final and like double points or some sort of, I guess, reward for if you get the Norm Smith medal right. But Thursday, which is tomorrow, North Melbourne and West Coast at Metricon. I'm going to tip Eagles, I think.
They're not going to lose.
Will they make top 4? Because
no, because Richmond are versing Adelaide and Geelong are versing Sydney.
How's the talk about people saying Eagles should, like, it's better for them to finish 5th and they get a home final rather than 4th?
Well, knowing West Coast, if they verse Port Adelaide at Adelaide, that's winnable. Mm. We've beaten Port Adelaide multiple times at the Adelaide Oval.
A few after the siren shots.
Yeah, Jeremy McGovern and Luke Shuey. But yeah, we just play well at Adelaide. I don't know why. Mm. But
Luke Foley.
But then if we play Brisbane at the Gabba, that's a different story. Mm. So basically, if you want to finish 4th and people saying that, oh no, yeah, if you want to finish 4th, well, you basically want to hope that Port Adelaide finish 1st.
Mm.
But then
there's
you also want a home final.
There's a lot of ifs and buts on there. So you're going West Coast?
I'm going West Coast, locking them in.
Luke Foley's debuting, another debutant.
Yep.
The other 3 boys have all gone West Coast. Friday, St Kilda versus GWS at the Gabba. St Kilda, they're going to win and they're going to get in the finals for the first time in 2011.
Yep, I can see that happening. St Kilda.
And Noah, GWS, Luca and Cal go on the Saints. GWS also have to win if they want to lock away their spot. That's
a blockbuster.
Essendon and Melbourne at Metricon. Melbourne's still an outside chance. So I think they're going to show a lot of heart and they're going to win against the Bombers.
Who did Melbourne play last week?
Oh, just remember, Melbourne Demon.
Can't remember.
Oh, they versed the Giants. Remember Trent Rivers who kicked that goal.
Right. Yeah, I was listening to that in the car. I'll go Melbourne. They look pretty good.
And I think,
well, from what I heard,
this week can't come quick enough for Essendon. They just want to move on.
Yep.
For the season. Melbourne, all the other three boys. Adelaide and Richmond at the Adelaide Oval.
Richmond. This has potential.
It does. What is it with Adelaide and winning in September?
Yeah, well, they could go for 4-0 here in, four in a row. Mm. And potentially not finish on the wooden spoon.
Which means they could not get pick one who...
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go for any risks here, so I'm going to go Richmond because I don't want to lose this minor premiership here for the season.
Yeah, and the other three boys are gone. The Tigers are Brisbane and Carlton at the Gabba. Brisbane for me. They're gonna finish top two.
Yep, big crowd. Brisbane for me.
And yep, the other three boys are gone. Brisbane, Hawthorn and Gold Coast at the Adelaide Oval. If there's ever a dead rubber game, it's this one. So Hawthorn, actually, yeah, Gold Coast, the Suns. They're gonna finish off on a high.
Jeez. This is tough. Yeah, I'm going to go Gold Coast as well. Hopefully. I reckon that has potential to be a good game. Gold Coast, you would think, would have the upper hand, but it's still going to be a good game.
Is it Jack Gunston and Luke Bruce last game in the brown gold? Apparently, Jack Gunston, I tweeted that because John Rao from the Herald Sun said that Jack Gunston wants to go. If he goes, he's going to be worth a first rounder. And I said, no, he's not worth a first rounder. He's 29. He's a good player, but I wouldn't be giving up a first round draft pick for Jack Gunston. I didn't say. So Noah, Hawthorn, Cal, Gold Coast, and
Luca
Hawthorn. Yep.
So Noah just sticking with his Hawks here. He doesn't support the Hawks, but he tips them
probably,
every week.
Probably so. Second favourite team.
Yeah.
Sydney and Geelong at Metricon. I'm going to go Geelong.
Yep, same.
And Noah Geelong, Cal Geelong. The Hoops. Fremantle versus Western Bulldogs at Kazali Stadium. Fremantle for me.
Bulldogs.
They love to finish seventh, don't they? Is it to me or they just finished seventh?
Fremantle can't play finals, so they're basically playing for pride. And the Dogs are trying to play finals. Because if they lose this and other teams win, then they could have a chance of not making finals.
Yeah, Cal sticking with you, the Bulldogs, and Noah and Luca. Frio. Yep,
so all you Frio tragics going for Fremantle.
Monday, to finish it off, icing on the cake. Collingwood versus Port Adelaide at the Gabba. This is actually tough because I'm actually going to go Collingwood here. I think Port, they can lose top, but I don't think they will. Regardless, they're finishing top two no matter what. So I'm going to go Collingwood.
Yeah. I was thinking Collingwood, but then I'm like, geez, if I want to win this, I got to take some risks because you and Cal are both going Collingwood. So... Well, I genuinely think Collingwood might win this. It's at the Gabba. They've got their stars back.
Yeah. Their forward line is just a whole different dynamic when you've got Tagovi there.
No, I'll lock in Collingwood.
Yeah.
Because I swear, whenever I tip Port Adelaide in a close game, they lose. So I'll go Collingwood. Noah's gone Port, and so is Luca, and then Cal's gone Collingwood.
All right.
There's round 18 locked in. So,
big
week coming up.
Nearly 18 minute mark. So we're going to leave it there. Don't go anywhere because part two is coming up with Jackson Ramsey, our featured guest.
He's Perth forever, boys. He's Perth, are we? He's Perth, the great tradition with the prairiest hip out.
Introducing today's guest, pick 38 in the 2012 AFL Draft, 17 games with Collingwood from 2013 until 2017. Since then, he's come to the team he got picked up from in East Perth and won last year's Best and Fairest and had another sensational season again in 2020. We welcome Jackson Ramsey. Jackson, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're a Perth lad, for those who don't know, born and bred over here in the West and played for Kubinia Junior Football Club. What was your life like as a kid, and when did you start to take footy or just sport in general more seriously?
Yeah, growing up, always was into sport really heavily. I played soccer on Saturdays normally, and then football on Sundays until they crossed paths, and then I chose football. Always into little athletics growing up, and yeah, I suppose football was always a thing I wanted to do, especially growing up with I grew up with some professional players. Like Callum Chambers, I work with now, known him since I was a baby, and Brent Staker and guys like this. So always sort of idolised those guys growing up, and wanted to emulate their careers and what they did for a living. So always thought sport was high priorities to have a career out of it type thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, eventually taken with pick 38 in the 2012 draft, as we mentioned. You're a member of the state squad. What was the build-up to the draft like and the discussions with the Pies and your manager, Colin Young? Were you both hoping to go higher than pick 38? And did you also mind moving east?
Yeah, so my draft prospects were a bit unknown in terms of I only played probably five Colts games and then three of the state games before I got that turf toe. I'm not sure if you heard about it, but I sustained that injury in a state game, so we weren't sort of sure where I was going to land if I was going to get picked up at all type thing. But pick 37, my manager Colin Young sort of said that North Melbourne might pick me up there, and they went with Ben Jacobs, and then all of a sudden the next pick I was snapped up. So sort of he gave me a little idea of where I might go, but in saying that, no one knows on draft day because it's all out of your hands, I suppose.
And do you think nowadays players are more picked on their athleticism rather than their footy smarts and their skills?
It's a good question. I think some prospects probably do, but then you've got another side of the coin where players might not be quick enough or fit enough, but they can just play the game so well. So I think it's probably 50-50. But if you're good enough and you work hard enough, you're gonna make it, obviously. So it's probably a hard question. I reckon it's 50-50. Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think it's important to have the right balance. But after almost two full years, you made your debut in round 22 of 2014 against the Giants at what was then known as Spotless Stadium and played majority of the game on ground due to other issues, injuries with players. What do you remember from your debut? Because Nathan Buckley said you were one of the most outstanding young players after the match.
Yeah, it was a bit of a rollercoaster, to be honest. I wasn't expecting to play. I reckon I played about 96% game time, and I was playing on Devin Smith, and he probably got the better of me on the day, but as a team, we performed well, and we were, the list was almost depleted with injury, and then I'm pretty sure Brad Cloak might have done his hammy, someone else might have done his hammy, and then Caff did his knee. So we had one rotation on the bench, and the midfielders hogged that one up, so it was every man for himself type thing, and we ended up getting the win, which is the most important thing. And after the game, it was just, Gatorade shower and back to the hotel to celebrate a little bit. And then we started focusing on Hawthorn the next day.
Yeah, of course. We all know Collingwood is a huge club from the facilities to the supporters. Describe playing in those big games and what it's like having all those passionate supporters with you over there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Growing up, you always knew that Collingwood's fan base was ginormous and pretty ruthless. So, coming over to Victoria, it was good to experience that. I suppose the two highlight games of my career would be the two Anzac days I played. The first one we won, second one we lost. But 98,000 people screaming, at every contest, and obviously the last post at the start of the game, et cetera, was just, pretty surreal. So, it's absolutely amazing the fan base they've got over there.
It would also be a bit daunting. But another vivid memory is round two of 2016, the one-point win over the Tigers. Brodie Grundy kicks the winner with only a matter of seconds left. And they showed that during the lockdown period this year, where they commentated the game all over again. You had 23 disposals, not your highest ever count that night, but do you think that's the best game at AFL level you've played?
Absolutely, yeah. So that was probably a turning point for me in terms of, I suppose you played, I'm not sure what game that was, but I played some good games before that, but you sort of have one game where you can sort of say that, you know, I can play at this level. That was definitely one. But yeah, obviously doing my knee on the Tuesday at training straight after the game was a bit of a bummer, but that was definitely one game that I remember for a very long time, especially with Brody kicking that goal. We probably should never have won, but it was a fantastic day, slash night, sorry.
Yeah, I think Alex Vasola kicked 6 goals that night as well.
Yeah, I think he might have kicked 5, but we'll still let him have 6. Yeah, he's a good fella. He's a good man.
Yeah, you had a knee reconstruction shortly after that, which held you back significantly. And you played as a medium-sized defender through the first 11 games of 2017 before your time was up. Was it a disadvantage for you having to play down back and not getting a real crack in the midfield because of all the big names in the middle?
Not really. I was sort of happy to play wherever, you know, Bucks wanted me. But, probably looking back, I probably needed to... I played all the NAB Cups, but I was fit to play type thing. But it's really hard after a knee to come back and form straight away at the top level, which I was sort of displaying, but it just started to float in and out of the side due to performances, and then obviously got delisted after that year. So bit of my control, bit out of my control, but it was just a bit of a hard year in terms of being in and out of the side, definitely.
Yeah, the Pies, they've always had a solid midfield, even now they still do. But parting ways with the club at the end of 2017, I think there was a chance to get redrafted, which didn't happen. But a question we often ask is, who were or still are your best mates from Collingwood? And did you feel frustrated at all watching the run they went on the year after you left?
I probably wasn't frustrated at all. I actually went and watched the grand final against West Coast, and I grew up as a mad West Coast fan, and I was actually going for Collingwood. But yeah, you're right. I was training with the club up until about Christmas, until the rookie draft, and then speaking to Bucks and everyone at the club, yeah, it was all sort of looking good. But then they've rated another kid higher than me, which is fine, and they've gone and picked him up. So that was don't have any grudges towards the club at all, because I still love the club and I still, you know, got really good mates. I think the first party question was, who do I still speak to? And yeah, I still speak to Steele every week, and Alex Solo, and the guys you get drafted with, so Brody Grundy and Adam Oxley and Ben Kennedy, who went to Melbourne. So still got a lot of mates there. A lot of folks that have moved on, like Blairy and stuff, but they yeah, it's a great club, and I love my time there. I've got some lifelong friends, definitely.
Yeah, you've always been a courageous player. Was the Jack Revolt bump on you a fair call to get reported, do you think?
No, he didn't get me in the head. He just sort of winded me a bit, but I think that was a NAB Cup game somewhere. He got me a riffer, definitely. I definitely felt that one.
So did he just get a fine or any wakes for that?
Not sure. No, I think it might have been thrown out because I wasn't concussed or anything like that. So, that was definitely a good hit.
Yeah, gotta take the precautions. But what sort of brought you back to East Perth? And as for the form, you won the FD Book Medal last year, which is the name for the best and fairest at the Royals. Have you found it easier in the Waffle because of that AFL experience you've got under your belt? Because you just seem to rack them up every week when, you know, on the Waffle, that you're often getting 30, 35.
Yeah, I suppose coming back to Perth, I sort of got some offers from some other clubs, state league clubs, and sort of always thought I might come back to Perth and play for East Perth, because, you know, they've done so much for me over the course of my career, and, you know, I really like to repay that. So that's what I ended up doing. But in terms of finding my feet again in the Waffle, well, I ended up doing my other knee round one against Subi when I first came back. So there was another whole year of rehab with Glenn Stewart's program at the Eagles. So had to get through that first, and then sort of we're at a bit of a crossroads with my career in terms of, do I want to you know, keep going, and I've decided I did. So, you know, I put all my eggs in the recovery basket and just got my knee back to normal. And I suppose with the confidence levels coming back from AFL, yeah, definitely it does help. Well, I'm not going to lie, but I just sort of, I can't really put it down to anything, but just butter up and played every week and just tried to do my best, I suppose. And probably moving into the midfield from down back has helped me a lot. And Jeremy Barnard's been pretty good like that with freeing my game up. I suppose down back you're a bit restricted to what you can and can't do. So moving into the midfield definitely helps, you know, me being able to express, you know, my footballing ability.
Yeah, as it would.
Yeah, the West Australian has put you down as second in the top 30 waffle players this season. And it's fair to say you are a Sandover medal favourite. You did poll well last year too, but surely you're going to be heading down along to the night in 2 weeks' time. And do you read much attention into this?
Not really at all. I'd probably rather be, well, I definitely would be rather be playing finals. We were in the finals for about, 2 or 3 hours on the weekend, and we were watching it at the club. So I definitely would be rather playing finals. But, you know, if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, well, that's okay, because, you know, I'm not really in it to win individual medals. I'm really in it to win, you know, flags. And I suppose if you ask Cole Horsley, what would you rather win, a standover or 3 or 4 premierships? So he'd be picking premierships. So, you know, I'd love to be doing what he's doing.
Yeah, it's a good mindset, Kyle. Yeah, for a previous guest, of course. But just recapping this season, from a team perspective, you were in the 4 for a bit by percentage when we caught up with you in the rooms on Saturday. Have you reflected yet on the season as a whole with the excitement of the young guys coming through?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we had a couple of beers up at the club after the game, obviously once South lost. And you know, I was talking to Barney, and we've got so much upside. Like, we were in every game we played in, which is a positive. Probably against West Perth, we probably had a bit of an off day. But, yeah, like, we got some really good young talent. Like, Christian Amajuri's coming along nicely. Matt Young, probably our talented best player, young player. And we got, like, we got guys up front kicking goals. And Kyle Wilcox down back, which is, in my opinion, is a very draftable player. If an AFL club wanted a nice medium back. So we've definitely got some upside. We've just got to carry it through to next year for 16 games.
Yeah. Do you think the retirement of Pat McGinley will sort of, I mean, disadvantage you in some way, even though those young guys are coming through?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to fill the shoes of Pat, because he's obviously played, you know, X amount of AFL and waffle games. But you know, he was playing a sort of pressure forward role, which we've got guys that can sort of step into that role. But in terms of his leadership, yeah, definitely it's gonna be a bit of a miss. But you know, it gives an opportunity for our other guys to step up.
And on the lighter side, who are the more funnier guys in and around the sanctum? Nick Robertson would have to be up there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's a ripper, Nick. Someone's gonna rein him in on the football field sometimes, but that's why we love playing with him, because he's got that hard edge. But we got a lot of characters at the club, actually. Like the guy I said before, Kyle Wilcox, is a very, very funny man, and everyone's good, because it's you know, we encourage everyone to be themselves at the club, and it's a good feeling down there.
Yeah, before we get into some fan questions, what are the plans for the off season now that footy's over or done and dusted? Will you get away to country WA, as the restrictions probably won't let you go any further else? But yeah, will you be as busy with work?
I'll be busy with work, but I have penciled in about four weeks off. So a couple of my mates will be up in Broome, so I might drive up there in the car and you know, explore the coast like probably everyone else has.
Yep.
But if not, I'll just get in the water and have a surf and keep training, I suppose, because yeah, just see what happens, type thing.
Yeah, you're with a travel agency, aren't you?
Yeah, so it's a family business. Yeah, it's called Travel and Sports Australia, and we've been around for 20-odd years, and it's been a bit of a challenging time this year, but previous years the business has been quite good, so that's why you have these good years in business, I suppose.
Yeah, sounds like a good industry to be a part of. But to finish off, Jackson, we'll get stuck into the Q&As. at Centre Square Podcast for you listeners if you want to ask any future guests anything you like. This one's a bit of a long one, Jackson, so you have to bear with me. But it's from Pie Hard Podcast, another podcast, seems like it. They go, much has been spoken about Nathan Buckley's transformation as a person and coach, culminating in the successful 2018 season. As someone who was there in the lead-up when the club was struggling on-field, what are your recollections of Buckley as a coach? What was the state of your relationship, and were you surprised to see the turnaround?
I wasn't surprised to see the turnaround at all. You know, Bucks and I had a very, very good relationship, probably better than most, but it sort of just needed to click, I suppose. Like, he did change his coaching style, definitely, from the time that I got there to the time that I left, which was 5.5 years or something like that. So, you know, he started to delegate a bit more, be a bit less sort of intense and let the assistant coaches sort of coach as well. So he sort of delegated a bit better, and then the boys, it was more a bit more of a relaxed atmosphere, and we started to win more games, obviously, just as I left. But he definitely grew as a coach and as a person, and he's, you know, one of the best coaches in the AFL right now. The way he handles the media, the way he handles himself and his players. So I couldn't speak highly enough about him.
Yeah, it'd be great if he can get a premiership, because he's basically done everything in football apart from that flag.
Yeah, of
course. Absolutely.
Next one's from Connor Burns, 52. How disappointing is it to have your AFL career ruined by injury, and is AFL still on your mind?
It definitely was something I had to deal with, mentally, in terms of why is my body not holding up, and why sort of like why me type thing. But I've worked through that. It's definitely disappointing. But in terms of another shot at it, well, if it came across my desk, I'd definitely take it with both hands, because it's definitely something I want to keep doing. If it happens, that would be great, but if it doesn't, well, so be it. Definitely, if it arose again, I'd take it with both hands, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're still 25, 26, so hopefully an opportunity does come your way. But that's pretty much it, Jackson. Thanks so much for your time. We hope you enjoyed it. Good luck with everything in and outside of footy in the future, and we'll hopefully see you around the place again sometime soon.
Beautiful, guys. Thanks for having us. Cheers.
Thanks, Jackson.
See ya.
See ya.
Jackson Ramsey leaving us, and unfortunately, we must do that too, Bray.
Yep.
Anything you want to say wrapping up?
Yeah, just massive round 18 coming up. Also a massive final series as well. Mm. Obviously, the ladder's pretty close from 4th, 5th down to, 10th. So, it's all on the line for this last round.
There's going to be no asterisks next to the premiers.
Yeah,
I can show you that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great final series.
At Centre Square Podcast on all our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, Twitter and YouTube. It's the pointy end of the season. We'll be back next week to preview week one of the finals here on the Centre Square Podcast and 91.3 Sport FM, your football headquarters. Have a great day.